It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep. Good morning. We're about to listen to one of the most influential voices in the White House at a moment when officials are rethinking Iraq. Vice President Dick Cheney strongly backed the war. Yesterday, he sat down with NPR senior correspondent Juan Williams, who's with us. Juan, good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
What did you want to know from the vice president?
Well, there have been a lot of hints lately that the White House recognizes the war isn't going well, especially in this political season. They want to take another look. And yesterday I had the chance to talk to the vice president about it. Every year, White House officials do interviews with radio reporters. It's like a big carnival on, you know, right outside the White House with a giant tent, and cabinet officials wander from one interview to another. In my case, though, I was invited to go into the vice president's office in the West Wing. Steve, it's a cramped office with a large antique map on the wall just behind the vice president's desk. A bold line cuts across several states indicating someone's journey, so I asked Mr. Cheney about it.
That's my great-grandfather. Yeah, he served with the 21st Ohio. Born in New Hampshire and emigrated to Ohio and enlisted in April of 1861 and served throughout the war, Chickamauga and so forth.
Well, so what you see here is that the vice president then began to have a discussion about what was going on in Iraq. As you've been traveling around the country this campaign season, you've been making the case for why Iraq matters. Mm-hmm. And here I quote you, you say, the terrorists want to seize control of a country in the Middle East so they have a base for launching attacks. They've declared an intention to arm themselves with weapons of mass destruction, to destroy Israel, to cause mass death here in the United States. If the threat is that serious, why not send hundreds of thousands of troops to defeat them?
Well, the problem we're faced with out there is there obviously there have been problems in Afghanistan, problems in Pakistan, problems in Iraq, problems in Saudi Arabia. And the key to success is getting the locals into the fight on the right side. That means both from the standpoint of political systems in Afghanistan and Iraq, where we've had to stand up new governments. It also means training and equipping their own forces. In the final analysis, the U.S. cannot take on direct military responsibility for all of those countries. It would not be sound policy or sound strategy.
But I was talking about Iraq specifically. Mm-hmm. Why not put a larger force on the ground?
Well, because in the judgment has been up till now that the key for us in Iraq is to get the Iraqis into the fight. And we've got 140,000 roughly troops there now, U.S. and coalition forces. And we've worked very aggressively to stand up, and we're about 75% of the way there, in terms of getting an Iraqi force that's able to provide for their own security. The sooner we do that, the sooner we can reduce our own presence and turn things over to them. But they've still got a long way to go before they'll be in a position where they can take over prime responsibility themselves.
Do you think you're getting good advice, good estimates from the generals who tell you that they have enough men and women on the ground to get the job done?
I think we get honest advice from him. I think George Casey gives it to us straight in terms of what he thinks he needs. And if he thinks he needs more troops, we'll send him more. We have, in fact, beefed him up on a couple of occasions in connections with holding elections, for example, or moving in a brigade we had positioned in Kuwait and sending up into Iraq to help, or recent adjustments we made in terms of putting more troops, U.S. troops, into Baghdad to help with the Baghdad security problem.
But given what you say about the threat that's posed by the chaos in Iraq and the continuing, in fact, rising death tolls we've seen, you got to wonder if the generals are telling you the right information about what they need.
I spent some time as Secretary of Defense myself. Men that we've got serving at the upper levels of the U.S. military today, I think, are some absolutely outstanding individuals. George Casey, John Abizade, sort of have the lead responsibilities in Iraq and for that region, are outstanding officers. They know the region very well. Abizade even speaks the language. They are, I think, very good advisors to the president, and they're the guys on the ground who have to, in fact, execute on the policy.
So they're not telling you what you want to hear, you don't think?
No.
Same thing with intelligence, with CIA, and with the relationship, the quality of intelligence that you're getting here?
Well, the quality of intelligence is a different proposition. It's rarely 100%. In terms of accuracy. And obviously there were problems with intelligence in Iraq early on. We get a lot better intelligence now, I think, that we're inside Iraq, that we've got a lot of people on the ground. The Iraqis have got an intelligence service stood up themselves. We've got a lot of people obviously working that account as well, too.
There was a story about you sending coordinates over to David Kay about where to look for weapons of mass destruction. And when I saw that, I thought, is it the case that you think you have separate sources of intelligence as opposed to what's coming through our central intelligence and established intelligence networks like that?
Yeah, I didn't send any coordinates. Somebody on the staff may have been in touch with him, but I wasn't in the habit of calling David Kay at 3 o'clock in the morning to give him coordinates that where he needed to go look. We may either may have been a request come in through a congressional office or something like that, that somebody had heard from somebody or somebody suggested that there were weapons hidden at a particular spot, and that would have been passed on to the appropriate people to check it out, that kind of thing. But I have not been involved in making those kinds of calls.
You've accused the Democrats of self-defeating pessimism. And the whole question about what is cut and run, and given the conversations that have been taking place here at the White House over the weekend looking for new strategies, have you redefined what that means, cut and run?
I would define it in terms of what the strategy is of our opponents. Keep in mind that I think General Casey made this point in his briefing. We've never been defeated in a stand-up fight in Iraq in over 3 years. What the enemy's banking on is that they can break our will, that the American people don't have the stomach for the fight. And Osama bin Laden's believed this for years. He goes back and cites the experience of Beirut in 1983, where after we lost 240-some people, we then withdrew from Beirut and so forth. He cites these examples to validate his strategy. And when we see the Democratic Party recommending that we withdraw from Iraq, that basically is validating the al-Qaeda strategy. It says, yeah, Osama bin Laden's right. The American people don't have the stomach for the fight. We can't afford to let that happen.
You've said famously this business about last throes of the insurgency. Do you think they're in the last throes now?
I can't say that. I would have expected that the political process we set in motion, the three national elections and so forth, would have resulted in a lower level of violence than we're seeing today. It hasn't happened yet. I can't say that we're over the hump in terms of violence, no.
And in terms of civil war, would you call it that?
No, I don't think it's a civil war. You've got a united government, a unity government in place. You've got united military forces in terms of the Army and to some extent the security force. When I think civil war, I think Antietam, Gettysburg. I don't think we're there yet.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. I appreciate the time.
Thanks, Juan.
Vice President Dick Cheney speaking yesterday to NPR senior correspondent Juan Williams, who's with us. And Juan, I noticed you asked the Vice President about people in the White House rethinking Iraq. And he responded by talking about Democrats, who he then mentioned in the same breath with Osama bin Laden.
Yes. Well, over the weekend, Steve, the White House, the president at the White House had a meeting with senior leaders, both in the Pentagon, people from state as well, and the White House, to look at different strategies that might be employed, whether or not they could put in place everything from benchmarks, they're reluctant to call them timetables, for changes in terms of our strategy or tactics in Iraq.
Is this an awkward moment then for White House officials because they want to change something but also want to blame the other party for wanting to change things?
And what's really more difficult is that you have many Republicans who are stepping out and saying that they have trouble with the strategy. Senator Lindsey Graham, for example, is recently quoted as saying we're on the verge of chaos there.
Okay, thanks very much. That's NPR senior correspondent Juan Williams. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.